Hello, my name is Greaves. Welcome to Roma Happens Podcast. Today we have a special guest who was already a guest before, but then we didn't release that episode. Hi, who are you and why are you replacing Char?
Hi, I'm Lennart, and why I'm replacing Char? I don't know. Probably because I am just way better. Everything. No, I'm kidding. No clue, but I wanted to join again.
Sorry.
Damn.
I've had some chips. I forgot to swallow them. So, we haven't recorded in a while. Actually, the last episode was Lazio game, which was April 6th. So, we missed about 5-6 games. What the fuck? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Char just kind of disappeared. He has some real life shit to deal with, such as a job that he had before as well, and now he's trying to be active, I guess. So he replaced podcast time with just playing basketball or football, soccer or something. And then if you're thinking, but he could have like 2 hours to come to the podcast and talk to us about stuff, well, you're wrong. He uses those hours to whine about the fact that he has to play football with, you know, bad players and amateurs and shit, even though he's an amateur himself. So yeah, he hasn't got time to do shit, so, you know, we might see him in the future. And our Discord guests also know that, or notice that he hasn't really done the what do you call it? It's called
Pick'em. Those Pick'em things.
Pick'em, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been in there for a long time, and I'm not mixing in this issue.
The not Pick'em that's... is gone.
It's gone.
Oh wait, no, it's not. Never mind, it's not there.
I don't know.
You have to. Wow, it's hard to open it. Yeah, like he hasn't done any of those, and I'm like, I can do it again, like that other time when you weren't available, and then I did it, and I was like, okay, and then never sent me the document. So Char got super fucking lazy and disinterested, which is worrying, because that's either a sign of depression or a sign that we're all assholes. So let's hope it's the first one. I don't want to be an asshole.
Nah, I'm a certified asshole, so, you know.
we've bullied Char. Enough about his life, or lack thereof. Let's talk about our lives, and unfortunately we have time to watch Roma and talk about it. What could be more depressing than that? Wait, hang on, we've done this bit with Jose, never mind. We've kind of come back to being depressed, because we just didn't win again.
I mean, to be, that our run hasn't been that bad if you look at the results. We've lost against Bologna with 3-1, and now a terrible match against Napoli. But in the meantime, a 2-1 win against Udinese, and we've beaten Milan in the Europa League both times.
Well, let's put it like this: Roma didn't win 3 out of last 4 games. But then Roma won an overtime against Udinese, is the way I would put it.
An overtime, yeah. Okay. I don't know. It was very lucky that we scored in the 95th minute, the header of by Cristante. That was very lucky. Holy shit. Quite happy about it. I was screaming in my room when that happened. The first 70 minutes of the Udinese game were terrible, and we kind of lacked creativity. In the last 20 minutes or so, yeah, we kind of went all out, and we were lucky to not concede that one chance that Svilar saved. Sometimes the ball just gets just right in the right spot, and Cristante headed it well, So yeah.
Nope. So do we? Is it lucky that Sailor saved it? I mean, at this point, it's kind of. It's not even luck. It's just like you expect him to make saves. He's like the most employed keeper in the world nowadays. He was sitting on the bench for like 6 years, and now he made more saves in the last 3 months than Rui has in the past for 15 years. So,
yeah, he's been great. I more meant lucky that like they didn't shoot it that well. Like it was a good shot, but it wasn't unsavable, and so Svilar saved it. But
yeah.
That's why what I meant.
Yeah.
And now, like you were saying, Svilar, again this time, even though he conceded two, which one of was a penalty and one was a very lucky deflection-ish shot by Oliveira. He played an awesome game. And
it's the only way you can beat him. It's really the only way you can beat Svilar. It's like a freak deflection into a corner that goes above his head, and there is literally nothing he can do except grow 5 inches in a split second, you know? So, I mean, maybe he can. Just I don't know. I feel like it's not his fault with that goal. And, of course, penalty is kind of a gamble. Although, he's kind of got the reputation that he's a penalty stopper, but you know, whatever. It's Osimhen.
What did you think? What did you think about the game? Just a couple minutes back.
I was thinking. Hang on, I'm gonna read you something. Where is it? Hashtag Dare to Bove, the admin of our Discord server, wrote Bologna losing, so we know what that means. Napoli, XG 0.01, one goal. Roma, XG 7.9, zero goals. So when he wrote that, I then went on FlashScore to check the scores. Shout out to FlashScore. And that moment, as it loaded, Bologna scores 1-1. So Bologna did not lose. And then, yeah, he kind of fucking jinxed us. But I love that Napoli is 0.01 XG, Roma 7.9 per his prediction. I feel like reality was very, very, very opposite.
Yeah, it sounds like the prediction kind of swapped. Like Napoli has a 7 XG and Roma has 0.01 XG.
Napoli were looking like last season's Napoli is having a bad game. That's what they looked like to me. They were still fucking everywhere, shooting from every position. They dominated the midfield. I mean, okay, what else is new? And Ludogorets from Bulgaria can dominate their midfield. I don't know. It wasn't really pretty. But like in the beginning, I guess, we kind of played really well. And then as the game went on, Napoli just assumed possession and assumed leadership of the game, and they owned it. And I don't know, we scored a penalty that wasn't supposed to be a penalty, and then they scored a penalty that wasn't supposed to be a penalty, and then they scored after a deflection. We scored, I guess it's also kind of a deflection, I guess. intentional deflection, Ndika to Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. 2-2 is a very, very flattering score for us. I don't think we deserve to win this.
But, yeah, we're lucky to come away with a draw here. Luckily, we're really good, especially on the flanks. Christensen was getting torched by Kvaratskhelia and like their left back, and I think it's Oliveira. Like what they did is they pushed up Oliveira and Kvaratskhelia then dropped a bit more central, which resulted in them to like running at Christensen every time. And you know I'm not a fan of Christensen.
I mean, who is?
Yeah. So they created an overload on that side, and when you have Christensen there, it gets threatening very quickly. and I mean the solution would have been Bove, but Bove was terrible in,
what?
In my opinion.
Okay, all right. So why? Because I've seen so many people say Bove was terrible today, and then so many people going Bove had a fantastic game today, which I can agree with. Because okay, I'm gonna present you my and you're gonna. Bove had one job. His job is not to go forward with the ball. It's not forward passing. It's not through balls. It's not long balls. He sucks dick at those. We know that. He doesn't try those. He doesn't do those. He doesn't shoot. He's not involved in goal scoring opportunities. It's not his job. It's like saying Daniel De Rossi is horrible. Why? Because he has zero shots on goal. Like, it doesn't matter. De Rossi's job is not that. De Rossi's job was to be the wall in front of the defense. Bove's job, it's very clear. Bove's job was very clearly to disrupt Kvaratskhelia, who still had a few chances, but I feel like Bove had like five tackles on Kvaratskhelia, won them all without a single foul. So he did his job. That was his role. So why do people keep saying he was terrible? He did fucking nothing wrong. I mean, he did nothing else, but he did nothing wrong.
So offensively, he didn't do anything, which but that's one aspect you kind of take into account, because then all focus kind of switches to his defensive role. One guy Gervasi in the WhatsApp group described it pretty well. He kind of runs around like a chicken without its head. Positionally, he's not the greatest. I mean, Cristante doesn't help, but positionally, he isn't the greatest. And Kvaratskhelia just kind of ran rings around him still. And then at that point, you kind of need to have like a solid midfielder as well that can bring the ball forward. If you don't do your defensive job, and you kind of need Paredes or something like that to actually do something offensively. And because Bove wasn't doing anything offensively, and defensively it was meh. And in my opinion, wasn't even that great. He could have been subbed out for any other player on the midfield.
Okay, but here's the thing. Again, I this is just my sentence that they keep using. I don't know why. I picked it up from listening to Quentin Tarantino, and it sounds like I'm about to mansplain. Here is the thing. Let me just explain it to you. Every single time you mention Bove did nothing, it's like, okay, but what did Cristante do? And I understand it's whataboutism, but Bove is 21 years old, and he's coming off the bench. And we have a guy next to him that does absolutely fucking nothing. He doesn't even tackle. He doesn't win the ball over. He does absolutely nothing. And his job is way more than that. So it's like, every single time I want to criticize Bove, it's like, it's kind of like criticizing my kid who's 19 months old, and he, I don't know, takes a toy and drops it on the floor and makes a loud sound. But like, you're criticizing him for making that loud thud that neighbors might be like, oh, look, they dropped something. But then I ignore the fact that I scream at him sometimes when he fucks up and the whole neighborhood can hear it. So, like, you know, in comparison, it's kind of like, how can I criticize him when I'm doing so much worse, you know? So, I don't know. I cannot criticize Bove without thinking, but what about the rest of our midfield? And, like, to be fair, first, we had Renato Sanchez, who I respect. I don't think it was a penalty. It's weak as fuck. But he came in and he was fucking... I don't know. Nobody on our team knows what Renato Sanchez is. He came on. Napoli fans were celebrating. They were dancing. They were singing. They were in awe that they're seeing Renato Sanchez in person, because they've seen Bigfoot. that's how our team is as well. He comes on and people try to pass him the ball, and suddenly he's sprinting towards the corner to save the... It's a simple pass. How are you misplacing it so badly to somebody standing 3 meters away from you that he has to sprint 25 yards to retrieve the ball, you know? So that's horrible midfield. Then you have Cristante, who started off the game really well and later on was just... Every single possession was, what the fuck is Cristante doing? Pellegrini, who did absolutely nothing. He didn't only disappear, he just nothing. And then Mancini played for Napoli, so I don't know, it's like, Bove was bad in a sense that he didn't do anything that we don't expect him to do, I guess.
But like, what's the thing is that because of Kvaratskhelia on that side, Bove's mistakes are more glaring than mistakes on the other half of the pitch, because you're kind of right in the fact that Cristante didn't do anything and Pellegrini didn't do anything. There were huge gaps, especially in the first half, because of Cristante and like his lack of man marking and not having great pace, and he even passed the ball away a few times. But our whole midfield was terrible, and because of Kvaratskhelia on the left side for them, Bove's mistakes just become that much more obvious. But it doesn't mean that the rest of the midfield was okay.
I guess. Sorry. The chips just... So, yeah, I don't know. I've read somewhere a comment which says that De Rossi... That there's way too many issues right now that you have to blame De Rossi the same way we blamed Jose Mourinho as well. Because the whole team is not functioning, and it's like... Who would you give the praise to in this game against Napoli? Like, apart from Svilar, who would you give praise to?
That's a tough
Tammy?
One. Yeah, but he didn't. Like, Tammy, yeah. Although he didn't get that much minutes. Like, he got, like, what, 50 minutes? Not even?
Yeah. 15.
Yeah, something like that. So... He had a share in this draw, but how much is it that share when you only play 15 minutes out of the, what, 95, 94?
Scored a crucial goal to keep us, give us 1 point, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like nobody on the team deserves any praise today, and it's true. Like, is it a problem with the coach? Is it a problem with the system? Is it a problem with the players? What do you think? Just a one-off, like one game that, you know, was bad and that's it, move on.
I feel like the some of the players are getting tired. Especially Mancini, like exhausted. Definitely after the 17th minute. The rest, yeah, it just looked like Napoli wanted it more or had more energy, and Roma were just gassed from minute 20 or something. I don't know who to blame, because I don't like putting the blame on one player. Like, sometimes you can put the blame on the coach, but I felt like this was just a lackluster performance overall.
I don't like the idea of blaming Daniele for this, because very simple answer, he's rotating a lot, and we saw what happens to Jose's Roma when he tries to rotate. We fall apart and get destroyed by Salernitanas and Cremoneses and shit. De Rossi is trying to rotate heavily, like he has to do it, because we play Leverkusen in 4 days, and then we play Juventus 2 days later, and then we play Leverkusen again 4 days later. So it's kind of like, what do you do? And then we play Atalanta 3 days after that. So, yeah, Roma may as well fall, I don't know, like seventh in a couple of weeks. So, wait, can we be seventh at this point?
Yeah.
Lazio is 4 points behind us. We absolutely can.
Yeah.
If we lose 2 games in a row to Juventus and Atalanta, and Lazio wins, that's it. We're seventh. I mean, I'm not even questioning that Atalanta is going to win against Salernitana next game. So, hopes lie on two fronts. So we might not even see the Champions League that we are, you know, creating spots for. So he's trying to rotate, and I kind of like, I can blame him for not preparing the team properly and not giving them better instructions. I don't think the rest is doing a good job. But yeah, I cannot blame him for today. Like, what would you do? You don't have Karstorp. He wasn't on the bench. He was unavailable for this game. So what do? Just play three at the back again? When everybody would just be like, put Christensen on. We just saw why he doesn't put Christensen on. Like,
yeah,
what do you do? You know, put Mancini on the right flank? Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I wouldn't put the blame on De Rossi at all. The only change I perhaps would have made is part with Tammy, perhaps, but Osmoun has been decent as well, so, you know, that's quite interchangeable.
Osmoun is what we thought Belotti would be.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Menace up front. Just, he's creating situations and trying to, like, will the ball into the goal, but it doesn't really work often. What do you make of Dybala? Is he just suffering because the rest of the roster is poo-poo, or is he in a bad form?
I mean, in a bad form, if you, like, especially the second half, you kind of saw some class again from him. It was just a very, very tough game. Everyone was tired. We didn't play very well when we tried to press. There were just huge gaps on the flanks, which they exploited quite quickly. And like it's sometimes you have these matches, especially in a congested schedule like this, where you just play terrible, and you kind of try to get the best result possible. And I feel like this game was one of those games that you kind of just think, okay, we played terrible, you know, and then we move on to the next one, which is going to be a huge game, to be honest. Leverkusen. What do you think? Who do you blame if you single out one player or one tactic or one
today
aspect? Yeah, today.
I mean, you know the answer. Why are you asking me? I'm not even memeing. Like, okay, everyone thinks I'm memeing, everyone thinks I'm hating on Cristante. I'm not. Dude, Cristante and Pellegrini midfield has not played the fucking Champions League. They've never finished above fifth spot. It was only once they finished seventh or sixth. Every single fucking season, we haven't been top four since that happened. The issue has always been defense. The issue has always been conceding goals from the middle of the pitch. The issue has always been that our attack does not feel connected to the rest of the team. Our issue has always been just conceding possession and not being able to create anything. Our issue has always been not being able to create anything offensively. Our issue has always been that, by the way, when I say always, I mean since signing Cristante and Pellegrini, since we got rid of Raja and De Rossi and Strootman. Our issue has always been this type of play where, and I'm not talking about only two of them this time, where you run at the player and then stop without pressing them. Pellegrini did something today that perfectly depicted this. He chased not Zielinski.
Lobotka?
He chased Lobotka, thank you, to the corner line. And then instead of pressing him and enforcing an error, he just stopped 3 meters shy and just stood there. And then Lobotka just kicked it out. It's like, if you're going to press, you press. You don't just stop there and stand there like a traffic cone. Mm. And there was that possession late in the game. I think it was Osimhen assisting to someone. Again, I forgot who. I don't know Napoli's roster. I can recognize like three names from last season. Osimhen was basically got the ball between like five Roma players. Cristante is staring at him the entire time, and Osimhen went from being marked by Spinazzola, Ndika, Mancini, Christensen takes over. Cristante is staring at him the entire time. Like, he didn't pick up at all a player that Cristante is standing on the penalty spot. Mm-hmm. Osimhen moved from right flank to left flank, was marked by four different defenders. Cristante just staring at him. Dude, why are you a traffic cone? It's fake numbers. Our issue has always been that we create this fake numbers thing where, like, we pretend like we're going to pressure them and force them into errors. And then teams have figured out that they can just go through that with simple 1-2 passes. You pass to a guy who immediately just, like, flicks the ball forward. That's it. You've gotten past 9 players of Roma with a simple touch. Our midfield is horrendous. They don't do anything. They don't protect the defense. They don't recover the ball. They don't push the ball forward. It's awful. And it's always been those two. I don't know if I've talked about this with you or with someone else. Every single midfielder that we bring in is bad. When Matic came in, we were like, holy shit, what is Matic doing? He's so terrible. He's the reason that we lost to Ludogorets. And I'm watching the replay, like, Matic risked the play. He pushed forward and he forced Ludogorets to get rid of the ball really quickly. And it would have worked. It would have been an interception if just Cristante has fucking pushed on. He stayed 25 yards behind Matic, just standing there, watching 3 Ludogorets players pass the ball to each other and just run at our goal. That is how they scored their first goal or second goal. I forgot. I'm sorry. It's been too long. It's fake numbers, and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's Jose's strategy, and it plays perfectly into Cristante and Pellegrini. Stand there, pretend like you're actually doing something. That's been the issue. That's always been our issue, and it's always been that fucking problem of not having enough players to just press, to just be active, to do something. And then when people criticize Bove, I'm like, he's doing stuff. He's actually doing stuff. I can't criticize him for that. He might be useless, but he knows how to do one thing and then does it.
I don't know. To go on off that, I kind of agree that our midfield is the main issue here.
And I'm sorry, let me just finish one more thing.
Oh, sorry.
Every single striker, I forgot to mention this because I just want to finish the rant. Whenever we bring in a striker, everyone says, like, oh, well, he's useless. What is Lukaku supposed to do when he's receiving the ball from 50-yard crosses from Cristante and Pellegrini? Lukaku has the worst first touch on the planet. We've known this for 12 years. Since his first Chelsea stint, when he was like 18 years old or 17 or whatever. We've known this. This hasn't changed. Why is that our strategy? And every single striker we bring, we're like, oh, he's useless. What is he supposed to do when he has no service? Our strategy is the same as Zaniolo. Just, here's the ball, go do something with it. We're just going to stand here and watch. And it's midfield. It's always been midfield, and our midfield has always consisted of 2 plus whoever we bring. Wijnaldum, Matic, Mkhitaryan, who did fantastic under Fonseca, he pushed Cristante out to the bench. Our midfield was Jordan Veretout and Henrik Mkhitaryan. I don't know. That's all for me. I'm sorry. Go on if you still remember. Sorry.
I do feel that since De Rossi, our attack has improved, mainly because there's more support for the attacker, and we don't kind of say, okay, good luck, Lukaku, Osimhen, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Just do it all by yourself. I feel like the main issue is in defense. If we press, we need the midfield to actually get closer and the whole team to get more compact and press that way instead of just attack, go forward and press them. We as midfield and defense, we stay back, and then subsequently we just have a huge gap in our midfield, which they can exploit. And offensively, we just, without Paredes, we've got Pellegrini that can actually pass, but he had a bad game. And then you look at the other two, which aren't the greatest offensively and passing wise. They're prone to making mistakes, which I'm meaning Cristante and Bove. And so, like, every time we try to attack, and they pressed really, really well, by the way. But every time we tried to attack and they pressed, we just couldn't get the ball to our attack because Kistante of Bove would make a pass, or even Kistensen would make a pass where we'd lose the ball immediately. And I feel like with a better midfielder that can actually control the ball better and play those passes more accurately, we actually beat the press more times than we lose the ball. But that's just my two cents here.
Right. But does that mean that Jose was right and that the squad is limited?
No, because Jose had Paredes. I feel like whenever we play with Paredes, we can actually do shit. And when we don't have him, we struggle. And still, overall, we have just a very strong squad, which should compete with, well, fifth place, definitely. But yeah, there are areas where we can improve, but you always have areas where you can improve upon, and you know this definitely is one issue which hopefully next time with Paredes in the midfield gets improved upon.
I feel like there was in the beginning of the game, a lot of people were saying that, in multiple times, that we just refused to pass to Christensen. And I kind of wasn't paying attention to Christensen at all. I guess, like, if we have somebody at the right back, it's 67% chance that it's pointless. Because Celik going forward is nothing, and Christensen going forward is just nothing, and Karzer going forward is, you know, actually can be a threat. I feel like it's fine. Like, he can definitely get in there. He can take shots. Since the Rossi game, Karsdorp has been, like, involved in... He's been a lot in opponents' penalty boxes. But, like, he wasn't playing today, so I just kind of didn't care about it. Mm-hmm. But I've seen a lot of people in different platforms mention that we're just ignoring Christensen. And it's kind of like... I don't know. It's a question of why do we have players in the pitch that just don't want to pass to each other?
But,
we don't have. We don't seem to have that sort of tight, not tight, but like I feel when De Rossi first came, everyone was having fun and everyone was finally playing football and everyone was just like, you know, free of Jose's instructions, which was like defend or defend. It's your choice, or sit on the bench. And now it's kind of like, again, getting to the point of players kind of thinking too much instead of just playing football. And you can tell people are not, or our players are not very happy, kind of. It's been a lot of stress, and they're playing under stress. And I don't know. It goes back, actually. I wanted to ask you about this. We have now a sample size since March 7, when Roma beat Brighton. Mm-hmm. We have a big sample size of Roma games now. Do you still feel, without looking at results, that I hope that you're not looking at results because I want your feeling about this, like subjective feeling. Do you feel that Roma is doing really well under De Rossi?
Yeah. Okay. I still feel like we're doing really well, but like I said previously, I really feel that the last couple of results or the last lesser performances are mainly due to that congested schedule.
Like, it could be, but again, this team has been together for so long, and we do have depth. Like, it's not like we have to play players out of position. We are playing a third right back. We are playing with two left backs. Like, Angelino comes on for El Shaarawy, and we have two left backs playing on the left side of the pitch. It's like, fine, one of you plays left back, one of you plays left wing. You know, whatever. You can overlap and you can just take care of the side. Like, we have enough depth. We have midfielders to rotate. We've just seen Renato Sanchez play, for fuck's sake. So, we have the depth to cover areas. So if this is the case, since March 7, why does Roma have a draw against Fiorentina, a loss against Brighton, 1-0 against Sassuolo, who were relegation side and looked more threatening than, you know, we thought that they would be. Draw against Lecce, squeeze the win against poor Lazio, I guess. I mean, that's kind of adding context to it, but Lazio were really poor. We did beat Milan twice, but then we lost to Bologna again. We barely somehow managed to squeeze the win against Udinese, who, you know, are not a bad team by any chance. They just drew with Bologna today, so... But still, we barely beat them. And then we barely beat a stumbling Napoli, who, again, are playing with a really different roster from last year. They're starting João Jesus, for fuck's sake. So...
Yeah, but if you... Okay, yeah. Well, I'd get really concerned if we lose against very, very bad opponents.
What, Genoa in end of May?
Like, if we're losing against Genoa and then against, I don't know...
Empoli after that.
Yeah. If we lose against those, okay, fair enough. I'd get actually scared. But now, you know, Napoli were playing very, very well. Like Bologna, we've lost, but Bologna also are. I don't know how they do it, but they're actually incredible. We've won twice against Milan, which I've taken a very competitive two games and lose then. Would we actually won, to my surprise. We were better than Lazio, although Lazio have been having a terrible season, so take that as you will.
Weren't they second last year?
Last year, second. They were doing... Fuck. What? At what place did they end up last year? That's
second. Question. They finished second.
Damn. Ah, damn. Okay, that's why. I didn't want to run...
Full of fire, dude. Napoli or Lazio. Jesus Christ.
I did want to get the be remembered by Lazio actually getting second, which is a disgrace.
Yeah, it's fine. We've been second 26 times in the past 4 years.
And like we lost against Brighton, but Brighton aren't they a bad team at all? They weren't in a poor run of form, but like they aren't bad at all. And we actually managed to go through somehow. So, it's like the last couple of games, like it's going tougher. Yeah, some rust, showing, but it will get better, hopefully. And we aren't losing against, I don't know, Genoa or Empoli 4-0.
We haven't got a chance. But no, I mean, we had a draw against Lecce and then 1-0 win against Sassuolo, which was without many games in between, or almost any. Like, we had enough rest, I guess it was a draw against Brighton, but whatever. We didn't really use much energy in the Brighton game. I don't know. To me, this feels like after the 4-0 win against Brighton, this team kind of... A lot of players said to themselves, okay, I am as good as I thought. It was just Jose weighing me down. And then they stopped trying to prove anything to themselves or to the new coach, and now they've settled back into their regular personalities, like Cristante yelling at players whenever he makes a mistake. Pellegrini just not really trying that much. Like, he tries for two tackles a game, and then he just completely disappears, like today against Napoli. Mm-hmm. And at this point, wins are more coming from players trying to showcase themselves rather than our team having a good run of play. And to me, that's where the wins... Like, I'm trying to think of any moment where I was thinking, like, yeah, Roma is dominating right now. Like, we've gone back to kind of not really dominating. And, like, against Napoli today, did you feel like we were dominating? We had the ball a lot, but
if I would say that we were dominating against Napoli, I'd probably have lost my mind by then. We were like damn. we were so bad. We were like it's incredible how lucky we've been this game to score twice. But I'll take it, I guess. Hey, sometimes you need some luck.
Sometimes you need
Demi Abraham being fucking 2 millimeter onside in order to score one.
But I mean, also Napoli were also extremely lucky to score twice. And you look at shots, they've had about 57 million shots at our goal. Hang on, let me just take a look at this. Goal attempts, 27. Yeah. Napoli, 10. Roma, shots on goal, 9-4. Shots off goal, 12-4. Block shots, 6-2.
You know, given that's one little asterisk, like some of those shots were taken by defensive midfielders or center backs, but like sometimes they should have scored easily. For example, the one-on-one of Anguissa, which then
or Osimhen.
Yeah, Anguissa skied the ball towards their curva or something.
But I'm just gonna say no. I don't agree with it. I don't agree that they should have scored because they didn't. We have Sviller in goal. It was amazing. Someone said Sviller has proved his everything that he needed to prove. I'm saying he proved he's worth 10 million a season at this point. We're not keeping him past June because there's going to be an EPL team that comes to him and says, hey, here's some peanut change. What do you want? 11 million? Here's 11 million. He's like, I was asking for 8. Like, you know, fucking, he's insane. He's just going to save absolutely everything that comes his way. And that is him. That's his role right now. He's just a fantastic goalkeeper. So,
yep.
Is it lucky that we have him in goal and that Napoli are just like kind of trying to shoot at him and we're just thinking you're not going to score in Sviller, dude? And they scored off a deflection. Like, isn't that the point? Isn't that like the evidence that they shouldn't have scored and then they needed luck?
They should have scored. Juan Jesus had a wide open goal and he shot it over the goal and skied it. If you have a good keeper or a great keeper, even if you have, I don't know, Oliver Kahn in goalie, there are some chances that you, as an opponent, just should convert. They didn't. And
the intimidation factor plays, right? Like, if you know that you need to shoot your best at a goalkeeper to score in him because it's really good, then you're going to try to overcompensate for that. Like, I remember Udinese just kept trying to shoot at Sviller and they kept missing the goal because they were just trying to, you know, unleash as hard as they can. And they just kept missing the whole goal because you know that there is a goalkeeper there that's going to stop your shot no matter what. So you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to do my best. I don't know.
It certainly plays part, perhaps, but right. some like, If you're Juan Jesus and you're like 3 meters away from the goal and you sky it that high, perhaps it's time just to hang up your boots. I don't know. I probably could have scored that one, and I haven't played football since I was 12. So
secret agent JJ.
Yeah, really. Holy shit, that was bad.
Yeah.
It almost kind of reminded me of that chance by Giroud in the first game against Milan. He hit the crossbar, but there's chances you should just finish. And intimidation factor doesn't play much part in that, I feel like.
Again, it's kind of like, I'm assuming he knew that Sviller is really good and he cannot just, you know, sneak it past him like he could against Rui. So he tried to smash it, and, you know, obviously that backfired. I don't know. I feel like Sviller is getting into people's heads, honestly. And, like, the Yankees shot, Sviller did something that I've noticed, and I've actually talked about on the podcast a couple of times. He waits for a perfect opportunity to go out. Like, the moment that... I was going to say striker, but Yankee says no striker. The moment that the opposing player is, like, rushing at him, and they look down to see where the ball is, Sviller runs at them and cuts off the angle so that split second later, when they look up to shoot, Sviller is already there. So you have to panic and try to, like, you know, smash it past him, and you can't. Like, you just... I don't know. I don't think it's luck. I feel like he's creating his own luck, and it's fantastic. Like, you see that guy in goal, and you're just like, I'm not scoring against him. Like, I don't know what's happening. I'm throwing everything I can, and he's just, you know, deflecting it. What can you do?
The 1v1 by Osman in the, what was, 72nd minute or something. He in Sviller did that so incredibly well. Like it's a sign of a good goalie when they rush out of goal, and you can kind of see those feet tap. It was almost like tap dancing. It was very, very fun to see. But that's just very good footwork, and he saved that 1v1 pretty well. Those kind of saves are just a sign of a very good goalie, as opposed to, I don't know, the 1v1 against Sviller by Anguissa, which was just terrible by Anguissa, which he panicked and then shot the ball as hard as he could.
We had a big story about Dika interrupting our game, and if you ask Lotito, he was faking it, basically. He started today, and I thought that he did really good against Osimhen compared to Smalling, because Osimhen was toying with Smalling, whereas Ndika was kind of stopping him and stuff, but like Ndika was getting in Osimhen's way, I guess, and Osimhen still got his own. He still got shots off. He still got left alone. He was still able to create opportunity. Like, you can tell he's playing for a shit-ass team that's having a horrible year, that's having the biggest fall of all time, feels like. And he's just creating opportunities. Like, I don't know. You can tell why Napoli paid, like, what, 70 million for him or something?
Yeah,
he's a fantastic player. I really hope that he goes somewhere he can be happier, like, I don't know, Saudi Arabia or Spain or whatever.
Saudi Arabia.
I mean, money is money, you know, like, money makes you happy.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not like Saudi Arabia is a shithole. It's fucking amazing if you're rich.
So let me ask you a question. What center back pairing would you prefer? Ndika with Mancini or Llorente with Mancini?
Of the players we have or of the players we don't have?
Let's do the players we actually have first. Perhaps that's a good one.
I would keep Ndika and Mancini, to be honest. I don't rate Smalling anymore. I think he's good in special situations, but I don't think he's that good. He tends to risk, like, he's slow, so he tends to risk a lot, and he tries to, like, rush out to intercept the ball or intercept a player and tries to read the player before it happens, and then it fails a lot of the time, so you have to bail him out. Which, unfortunately, when we had Rui, the accent was more on why the fuck is Rui not saving this weak-ass shot, instead of saying why exactly is Smalling risking to rush out at someone who then just gets past him with a simple stutter step and or just, like, you know, a side ball, like 45 degree angle side ball. Like, you can't be a central back and just be beaten that easily. And then they, like, shoot some weak shot at Rui and it goes in. So I feel like that went ignored quite a lot, because there was, like, a moment where I was trying to watch all the Roma goals that we conceded, and Roma goals we conceded. the goals that Roma conceded. And I was trying to see what Cristante and Pellegrini were doing in those moments. And then what caught my eye was just like, so this isn't Smalling. This is on Smalling. This one's on Smalling. This one's on Smalling. This is on Smalling. Like, all right. Apparently, Smalling just makes a lot of mistakes. But I don't know. He has a lot of skill. He's a great leader on the pitch, I feel. But the problem with Smalling is just that he's always there in the center of play whenever we concede. And you kind of have to wonder, like, why is he unable to stop the goals? Or does he stop a lot more than we think and than I think? And then sometimes it just happens. I don't know. I just have a bad feeling about Smalling whenever he plays.
Yeah.
Like, people see his amazing headers and that he's always standing his ground or winning duels, but to me it's like, we know he's going to win those. That's not where they're going to try to score from. So, yeah.
I agree.
And he's getting older. Like, we did he even play this season? Like, he played 2 games or something.
Yeah, against who did he play again?
I was Googling John Smalling. I forgot his name.
Mike Smalling. Jesus.
Mike Smalling right there. I don't know. I genuinely don't know who he played against. Let me take a look.
I'm very, very curious whether he is gonna play another match in the rest of the season.
10 games this season total. Yeah, I don't know, it's dude. Smalling. That's not, yeah, Smalling.
10? What the?
He played against Udinese. He played against Bologna, Lazio, and Lecce. Oh, he was on the bench against Bologna and Lecce. And he played 17 minutes against Udinese, 11 against Lazio, 31 against Monza, which is March 2nd, 78 minutes against Torino, and 8 minutes against Frosinone.
With those amount of minutes, I'd like to take his job and earn his salary.
And be treated at Villa Stuart.
Yeah. For that amount of money, oh, definitely.
I mean, his injury, bruise on ankle and tendonitis. I mean, dude, you go in and you just get a fucking massage every single day for 3 hours by certified masseuses, and then you cheat on your wife and shit, and you get in different type of trouble, but, you know, free medical stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, the one time I met Smalling, it was one of the Corona months.
Yeah.
Like, I saw him eating out in some fancy ass restaurant, and I was walking by, and he was surrounded by like two other guys, and I was like, is this really, really in accordance to the measures of with regards to Corona? Perhaps not. Perhaps it is. I don't know. Smalling he's an odd guy. I feel like he can defend well, but he's, in my opinion, a bit overrated, perhaps.
He's the first vegan player that made it work, I think. A lot of athletes in the NBA and football tried to be vegans and then said that they would lose muscle mass real quick. Smalling is the only one that made it work, so congrats on that. And apparently he said he heals a lot better, but he was out with tendonitis from September until middle of February. I don't remember his injury being tendonitis, I'll be honest, but... Okay, no. Isn't that something that you overcome kind of not that difficult? Isn't tendonitis chronic anyway?
Wait, I am not a doctor. There's a good reason I'm not a doctor, so...
Tendonitis is when tendon is inflamed. It can happen to any tendon in the body. Why did he have a full fucking body inflammation? Like, Jesus Christ. Whatever. It's obviously some misreported injury, or he wanted out and Jose was like, fuck you. Whatever. Like, he hasn't played that much this season. I don't think...
I don't know. Do I wish him the best? Absolutely. Yeah, but yeah. Would I like to see him for that salary more often on the pitch? Yes.
I won't remember him by anything bad if he leaves. It's just like, you're old, dude, and you're not really playing. So you seem like a great guy. Whatever business is going on in the back, background, whatever. Llorente, I don't care. I don't know, dude. He's not terrible, but he doesn't like, really.
Yeah, if, I feel like he definitely on the ball. He's decent. One of our better ball playing defenders. But occasionally he makes a defensive mistake, which he definitely shouldn't make. In this, like, at this level. So I don't know. I feel like he can be a decent defender, and he is actually a decent defender, but there are mistakes that you just can't make.
So did we completely call off of Dean?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
For that amount of money? You're Dutch?
For that? No, no. But that, come on, there, what's the price that Juventus is asking? 20 million? 30 million?
It was like 50 million at first. Yeah, and he played another game, it was like, okay, 30 million. And then he played another game, it was like, alright, 25 million.
he really makes some stupid mistakes, which, I mean, it's logical because how old is he? 18?
18, yeah.
I don't know. I give him a lot of leeway because of that. But I don't know. He hasn't convinced me enough to keep him.
I will be happy to remind people on our soccer in 5 years that he played for Roma once. And that's it. I feel like, I don't know, dude, he's not that good of a defender. Like, he has some moments which might imply he has a great future, but yeah, he's going to be playing in some Girona or Athletic Bilbao or something, I don't know.
I remind you that Maitland-Niles actually played for him.
I was actually going to say, shout out to Lyon, because, fuck, I've lost it. Do I have it? This is Marseille versus Lyon. Nope, that's not the game I want. Shout out to Lyon, because they have Nemanja Matic and Maitland-Niles playing for them with a goalkeeper called Lopez, but it's not Pau Lopez. He actually plays for Marseille, who have Pau Lopez and Jordan Verdun or something. I don't know. And don't they have Cenk Zunder? Or did he go somewhere?
I don't know, but I've just seen that Lyon won 3-2 against Monaco.
Yeah,
and with two goals coming from Ben Yedder at the side of Monaco, FIFA legend. No.
Yeah, how did the guy never played for a bigger team is beyond me. He's always been like, this is the guy, this is the Sevilla dude that everyone's talking about. He's scoring bangers. Goes to Monaco. Like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, teams don't trade him. So you don't think? Wait. I want to do the first. So you don't think that this recent run of results that we've had is on De Rossi, and is just the way Roma is, or what explains this shaky Roma kind of winning games, kind of not, but like eking out victories in the last moment with wonder goals from Mancini. What is your conclusion so far the last 3 months?
Tired players. That's not the only reason. I feel like it's tired players. And then it's lackluster performances at crucial moments, plus some tactical dubious decisions which could have been better. I feel like it's more of a mix of reasons than actually one singular thing. What do you think?
The news. Oh, I think that we extended De Rossi way too quickly, and people seem to, like, it's hard to be objective because everyone thinks that they're objective, but when you get takes, like, I'm objectively saying that Florenzi is better than Karstorp, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Florenzi is the worst right back I've ever seen play this game until Christensen. And, like, Karstorp is not good player, but, like, he's worse than Florenzi. Or, like, oh, yeah, I'm completely rational when saying Cristante is not a bad player. Like, yes, he is. Nobody has ever sent an offer for a player that has played for Roma for the last 8 years. You know how fucking... That's never happened. He joined Roma, like, 6 or 7 years ago. We've never had an offer for Cristante. That's never happened.
I've got a vivid memory of some rumors of a Premier League club wanting Cristante for what, 40, 50 million, perhaps. It Liverpool eyeing Brian Cristante, 2023, August. Oh yeah.
And Milan also as well, 2 years ago. But like, Don't see people are asking for him. If people were asking for Cristante, we would have fucking sold him, dude. We need the money. Roma is not in the position to say no to any transfers.
According to transfer expert Pedro Almeida, Brian Cristante is on Jurgen Klopp's wish list.
He never gets injured, so that's why. And, you know, Klopp cannot say that he doesn't have a player who doesn't get injured. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I feel we've extended De Rossi way too fast, way too quick. I was going to ask you about that decision. I don't think he has done anything to merit to warrant that extension.
The results have been decent. We're actually playing at least better football, although it isn't that difficult to play better football than Mourinho. We are,
but like, at what point do you say, we all think that Jose was weighing the team down and not letting them actually play. So right now, all I can say is that the team is playing what they think or how they think they should be playing. I don't know. I'm not saying De Rossi did a bad job. I'm not saying that he takes zero credit for wins. I'm just saying I don't think he did anything so far.
But
and extending him is just pointless. Like, why would we do it in the middle of the fucking season? Wait for the summer at least. What is the point of that? Like, you won against Milan extension, bro. Like, how is that not an emotional decision? How is that not a fucking stupid, dumb, like, why are you treating coach position as something that, like, we're trying to give away to people? Why not just say we're gonna go conduct a search, and De Rossi, obviously based on his results, is remaining one of the top candidates? And just, you know, even if you've signed him in fucking April, just say in July that you're looking for coaches. Just, you know, fuck it, tell him we're not looking for anyone, I'm just gonna make a statement, so that you at least make it sound like it's a distinct honor to be a Roma coach, and not like, we found a guy, it's the guy that's played for Roma for the past 20 years and never coached anybody except Spal and got fired.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
I mean, he's actually doing well, and I feel like I don't know for how long did we extend him?
Indefinitely. I think the way it works is he gets another year, but if the results are not good, he can be fired without any severance. I think that's how that works.
That's how
they worded it. They just said indefinitely, which, you know.
If so, I feel like this is a decent choice, because you can just, you know, watch how he's doing for about a year, and if things go bad, you can swap him for somebody else. Like
Conte?
I don't know.
Who are you getting? Okay, look. Who are you getting in November when Roma is ninth?
Right, but Conte asks for investments, and we don't have the money.
So who are you getting in November when Roma is ninth?
Who are we getting now?
It's summer. You can get coaches. You can just be like, hey, can we pay you $2 million to release your coach? You can get fucking Fonseca back if you want. He apparently is... He's chased by Marseille, and I don't think he's going to take the job because he's doing fantastic with Lille. I think Fonseca is just going to go to, like, Brighton because the ZB is going to take I don't know, Bayern or Napoli or something, or Milan. I don't know. I think there is so much activity going on in the summer, but like when the season starts, who's available? You're not going to be like, Deserbi, can you quit your job so we can hire you?
I don't think the coach market right now is good. With like Fonseca, if he went to Roma, it probably would be a lateral move for him, or a horizontal move. True. We aren't gonna get Thiago Motta. He's going probably or to Juventus or some other big club. Like currently, there aren't a lot of great coaches that are free, and so to wait it out and after a decent run with Rossi, I feel like extending him for a short period of time, and if is a great decision, and if things go right in that short amount of time, a longer contract is also an ideal situation.
The reason why I said it's really hard to be rational and objective, I feel like this my discontent with signing De Rossi to any extension right now just comes from the fact that if he doesn't do well to start the next season, like if Roma invests in players and he's not like top two by November, he's gone and he's not coming back to Roma. So I would much, I don't know, I'm just, you know, it depends on how much he invests. But
yeah.
My numbers are not the point. I always use random fucking stupid numbers. No, the thing is, like, I said this on Chiesa di Totti, I would much rather see De Rossi be a part of Motta's coaching staff, Spalletti's coaching staff, whatever. Just let somebody else take the reins, let De Rossi develop and learn. He has zero top tier experience except for this. Like, maybe you can say that we could have brought somebody, whatever, it doesn't matter, the Ranieri 2.0 or something, Ranieri's son, to coach Roma for the rest of the season when Jose was fired, and then take a gamble on De Rossi and have him develop as a first team coach and be flattered by everything he's doing, or be completely delighted with how he handles players and his vision and his ideas and thoughts and his work rate. Like, you can say that. So now we're just getting, you know, extra half a season of De Rossi to just, you know, see if he's doing well and if he can manage himself. But I would just so much rather he learns from somebody else and then when he's ready to take over. Like, if Motta's doing dog shit, fine. We have an in-house solution already in De Rossi. If De Rossi is not working, he's gone. He's done. That's it. His reign in Roma is over. And why? Because he's still an inexperienced coach who's only coaching fucking ideas so far, or experience so far, is 3 months of Spal and 3 months at Roma. And I don't want him gone. I want Roma to just have a Roman-born, Roman legend footballer coach for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know if I don't know if I'm just biased and saying, like, he's not ready yet and I don't want him gone. I want him to stay in Roma, be a part of the staff. Or if he needs to be given a chance. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't like this because it just felt rash and it just felt like they were just like, fuck it, just take another year. We don't have to think about this. That's how it feels to me. Lino Saluko came and said, hey, I'm lazy. You want to coach next year as well? He was like, all right.
I feel like from a club's perspective and from the perspective of the Friedkins, this is actually a very, very decent decision and that minimizes the risks for them.
Oh, I didn't think of that. When you go to Roma's Facebook page, everyone's spamming Friedkin's out and something about Jose Mourinho and how they disrespected him. And that's the first thing that pissed me off. My initial reaction reading that De Rossi was extended is like, this is just a PR move. I can't believe that the coaching decision is a PR move. You just want to silence people because now those people are saying, bring back Jose. But like, does that mean that you want Jose over De Rossi? Haha, see, we got you. We're smart Americans. I just hate this move. If they just signed him in April and then said in August, we think we're going to go with De Rossi while telling him the whole time, you don't have to worry, we're not looking for anyone, I would be okay with that. I would be okay with panicking for 5 months and only to say like, well, he's been leading practices for the past 8 months, so who cares?
Look,
fine.
This is a move that for the Free Kings minimizes risks, but and besides that, we don't have a lot of money to make investments over the summer. We're still hampered down by FFP, I think. I don't know the exact terms. I've looked it up, but I've forgotten already. So there aren't going to be massive investments over the summer. We're actually going to lose like some dead weight, probably. Which means that even if De Rossi isn't doing well after the summer, a part of the blame just absolves because there weren't any investments or there weren't any new players. And so the expectations might be just a bit lower for De Rossi for his next season.
I mean, okay, but from that angle, and I'm not trying to be a contrarian here, and I like that, but from that angle, then you, as Friedkin, say, we are hiring De Rossi for the next 5 years. Unless he quits, this is Roma now. You can take it or leave it. As a player, you have to listen to me. You have to pay. We are not replacing any more coaches. Daniele De Rossi is your coach. Either come to Roma and worship him, or you can get the fuck out. Like, that's it. They say that this is the project. This is what we're sticking with. Say, we've decided that De Rossi is really good because his work rate is fantastic. He has so much experience working with so many different coaches and fantastic coaches. He is Roman legend. He knows how players think. He knows exactly what players need. He is the next coach. This is our project now. We failed with Jose. This, we are not deviating from this. Like, then say that, you know, put some responsibility on somebody else and say, we're not switching coaches. This is what you get. From this point on, players can be the ones. So why did you say indefinite? It literally means just 1 year. You didn't say we're like, make it clear. I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I hate how they did this. Like, in the middle of the fucking season. Hey, this dude who's been leading for 3 months is pretty all right. Yeah.
I don't know. If things are going well, it makes sense to extend it.
Yeah.
And to minimize risk, why not extend it for an indefinite time?
Yeah, I guess. From a business perspective, I think they did good. But whatever. Maybe they know what they're doing and they're just not telling people. It's the Friedkins.
Hey, they aren't hampered by FFP, which I don't know. It's annoying that we still have to even pay attention to that.
I mean, look, FFP was created for teams like Roma. We're gushing money every single season. Like, people say we're bleeding money, we're gushing money, and we are still trying to bring in Lukaku's and Dybala's of the world while losing 200 million a season.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not like we get a billion a year and then lose 1.2 billion. No, we bring in, I don't know, 100 million and then lose 300 million a season. That's insane. We cannot have losses like that.
No.
Obviously, numbers are again wrong, but like, I think we lost 200 million over two seasons.
I think that's somewhat correct. Something in that ballpark. So, I'm kind of curious. Well, we have a tough run of games coming up.
No! Don't do it. Don't ask me. Don't ask me for reputation.
Juventus, Leverkusen, Atalanta. What do you think?
I think we're gonna be completely outside of Champions League by the end of the season.
Yeah, no chance.
It's simple reason for that is Daniela loves playing Cristante, and whenever Cristante comes off or isn't playing, we look really good.
So, okay. Envision this. We're getting on the pitch first day, 9 o'clock, and you watch the lineups, and suddenly Cristante isn't there. What do you think?
Isn't there?
No, Cristante is, I don't know, has food poisoning or something. What do you think is gonna happen? Are we gonna win this one then?
I think I would have police coming to my door asking, why did you poison Cristante? And I'm like, I did it for fucking Roma, dude. I want to beat Leverkusen. I put money on it. I don't know. I would be much more relaxed about it. I don't know, man. Like, here's the thing. Again, mansplaining. I see Cristante and Pellegrini as horrible midfielders and really good in attack. And I really wish we just play 4-6-0 formation where Tammy plays a midfielder as well, because he plays like a midfielder. Like, he just drops deep every single fucking time. So just play a formation with three midfielders behind Cristante, Pellegrini and Tammy Abraham. Like, what's wrong with that? Get three Bovas, you know?
What is your prediction? What's it gonna end up being? Are we gonna win? Lose? Draw?
I do one, you do one. First Roma Leverkusen game, I think draw.
Okay, I think 1-1.
Okay. Roma Juventus, I think draw.
that's a tough one because Juventus in the best form. You know what?
1-0.
1-0.
You say Juventus are in a bad form or Juventus are in a good form?
No, bad form.
That's okay. Yeah, three draws and a loss in the last 5 games. If Bologna hadn't drawn today, I would be pretty sure that we're trying to get 4th spot from Juventus and not from Bologna. Okay. Yeah, I think so as well. 1-0 or draw. I don't know. I can't make up my mind. I don't think they're going to score.
Now
it isn't Roma return leg.
We probably have jinxed it now. You know, we'll lose like 0-4 against Juventus by a hat trick.
Not like there is 17 radio stations in Rome right now yelling that Roma is going to beat Juventus. Leverkusen Roma return leg. I think it's a draw.
Leverkusen is tough at home. Yeah, I hope we win, of course. I fear I have to put down a 2-0 for Leverkusen.
Yeah. And Atalanta Roma, I think it's a draw.
Like 2-2.
Yeah.
And then after that, we play Genoa, Empoli, and Milan.
Can you imagine just being a Milan fan and you're like, "Fuck, we lost to Roma. We didn't have anything to play for. Like, what? I even watch the games?" And then it's like, "Fuck it, I'll just watch the last game of the season. Was that fucking Roma again?"
If we win there again, I feel like some Milan fans are gonna. I'm gonna get
put
into a mental hospital or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Leverkusen is. I don't know, dude. They didn't lose again despite trailing in the 97th minute of the game, and they still managed to draw. People are like, "Oh yeah, but they haven't like won. They've been in this situation so much in the last couple of weeks." Like, yes, that's because they rotate. Victor Boniface and Florian Wirtz don't really play games. Like, they come in 85th minute and that's it. Like, again, exaggerating, but like, they're not really trying to win anymore. They're just trying to, you know, keep players fresh and healthy and whatever, and in form. So they can score when they want. And sad thing is that they pressure through the middle. So I don't know. I don't think that Roma is going to crash out to Leverkusen. I think we're going to go through. And I don't think we're going to beat them either. We just have to not lose. We just have to go to the penalties, you know?
Seeing the recent results by Leverkusen will somehow lose the second tie in the 99th minute or something by a goal of Florian Wirtz. I don't know. That'd be on par for the course. But I don't think we're going to win against Leverkusen. And I feel like I fear that we'll lose because they've just got so much quality.
But I don't know. I'm not afraid of their defense. I don't think they have a way to deal with Lukaku, Tammy, and Azmoun. So I think it's going to be a lot of goals. If you remember the game, Bayer versus Roma 4-4, like 8, 7, 9, 10 years ago, something like that. I think that's what's going to happen. They have a lot of attacking firepower. And you know, we still have Lukaku, and I don't think they have a way to like protect themselves from our corner kicks and set pieces and shit. They're not very good with those. So I expect 2 draws, honestly, and then it's going to go to penalties, and then Milos Filler is just going to own, was it Lukasz Hradecki? Yes, it's Lukasz Hradecki. A Finnish goalkeeper, mind you, with a Czech name.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't think we crash out to Bayer Leverkusen.
I hope not. I really hope that we'll get a all Italian Europa League final.
But I don't think we're gonna be fifth. Come the Genoa game in May 19, I feel like Roma's in a really bad position, and right now we feel like we're, you know, good and we have all the hopes and shit. Die these big matches. Realistically looking, dude, we are playing Leverkusen, Juventus, Atalanta. We're playing German champion, dude. This is like playing Bayern Munich. Leverkusen are a fucking machine, so
yeah.
My expectations of 5 draws in a row, 6 draws in a row after Napoli is unrealistic. Probably gonna get demolished.
Yeah, probably. But we're Roma, and occasionally we'll get a result.
We have the power of star factor. We have Dybala, we have Lukaku, we have Mancini's headers, and we have
Spider-Man.
I don't know. Anything can happen. And I feel like that's the biggest thing about Roma. It's like we're dog shit on paper and even worse during the game. And then somehow we're still scoring and not losing. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What do you think? Do we qualify for the Champions League in the end?
Jesus. That's a very tough question. I'd like to be positive. Yes. With the skin of our teeth, we managed to get fifth somehow. Because Atalanta has decided, you know what? We suddenly start losing against everyone. I don't know. I think we'll do it just barely.
Atalanta.
Atalanta.
Okay. All right. So on that note, would you like to come back and do another episode with us? Or was this a one-off?
No, absolutely. No, of course. always a pleasure to be here, but also to speak to you. So definitely.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Do you have any shout-outs?
Shout-out to my mom. No, nobody. Definitely not.
Well, I have shout out to Char, who was watching the game with me and said, after Roma conceded a penalty, and said, I'm going to the store, I need something to eat. And I said, there's 7 minutes left. You don't want to see Roma score and tie the game. And he just said, nah, I'm having Wednesday night flashbacks, so I need to go breathe. Shout out to Char for being a fucking moron. Thanks, man. Thanks for missing the fucking goal.
I am not getting mixed up in that. Nope. I am not touching that with a 10-foot goal. Oh, jeez.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Much love for Trey.
Yeah. With the desperation of a soldier, my lyric told ya. Feel my heartbeat even colder. Fighting for my rights and dark and alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack your red dawn. No time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary. Preparations from prime. One time, feel me rain. So feel me rain.
Black rain.
Black rain.
Citizen Kane.
Talking black rain.
Black rain.
Black rain. Peace students in the game. Black rain.
Black rain.
Through the struggles and the strain. Black rain.
Black rain.
Elements of mind. So feel the rain from behind. Black rain.
Black rain.
Peace students in the game. Black rain.
Black rain.
Through the struggles and the strain. Black rain.
Black